Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Oh. Hello. I think we're on a podcast.
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay, so I suppose I'm supposed to be talking to the audience now.
Yeah, you go through it.
This is my first time ever doing this, so I'm a little nervous. Hopefully everybody can enjoy this podcast today. This is the Overseas Connection. It's episode 424, June 3rd, 2017. Did I get that right? I'm supposed to say all that stuff to start the show.
Yes.
Okay, I think we're good. This is a little more subdued podcast, folks. We're heading right into the storm. E3 is coming up. I'm overly nervous, so I've forgotten everything. You have to forgive me. Actually very excited for E3. And of course, this is your regular podcast for the week, the Overseas Connection podcast. As I mentioned, episode 424, I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And, I'm not really that nervous, but I'm excited for E3. And, I should also let listeners know, before we jump into everything else, that next week we will have apparently a regularly scheduled podcast. So Saturday, we will have our normal podcast. I imagine by that time, you guys will have some EA information to be covering over. I'm likely not to be here next week, but normally Fraser Moores would be filling in. That's his normal time slot, but he apparently is doing something Canadian. And so it's either going to fall on the shoulders of Robin Tate, our local Mexican-Irishman, or potentially Mark Wright, maybe stepping up to the plate. I don't know. Maybe. We're also going to have a special E3 podcast. That will come later in the week. It'll be on Wednesday, a little bit earlier than normal. That will be a 10 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. on the West Coast, 5 p.m. on the East Coast. I think I got all those times
right.
Yeah,
that's just going to be an audio podcast. So we're not streaming that. We're just doing an audio. So it'll be available for download Wednesday night.
So never mind all you Twitch streamers. Fuck off. You can only hear this through audio. But yes, we will have a podcast for E3 specifically. I, again, will not be on this. Unfortunately, I will be traveling the week of E3. Who makes their employees travel the week of E3? I'm to blame for that. That's my own fault. But work does have to happen. So enough of that stuff. Let's talk about the really good stuff, which is the two of you on the podcast today. Starting left to my right, we have Kim Wood. Sorry, Kim Woods. I left the S off. I don't know why. I'm nervous.
There, that's it. You're nervous. Yeah. It's, terrible.
Yep. Additional monkey on the podcast today, Mr. Mark Wright.
Mm-hmm. Hello. I feel a bit overdressed because you two's got tank tops on.
Hey, it is a blazing hot 80 plus degrees outside. Sure. I should say it's not really blazing hot. It's nice, but it was it's warm. I'm just going to say that right now.
It's 88 degrees here, so.
We've had a pretty decent week here for early June, end of May, early June. So.
Yep. Mm. It is now 88 degrees here as well. So there you go.
Yeah, look at that. We got California weather. Yay!
Yes, you do.
Took it long enough.
Tank top was necessary today. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. A tank top is necessary every day.
Not where I live, but all right. If it's like 30 degrees outside, screw that. Mm-mm.
Well, okay. Yeah, wintertime, I get it. Tank top's not necessary. But anyway. Hey, if you are watching this show, it's because you're catching us on either Twitch or you're on Mixer or even YouTube. And also, if you don't have the opportunity to watch us every Saturday at 11 p.m. UK, 3 p.m. West Coast time, 6 p.m. East Coast time, you can catch the audio feed. We do put forward an audio version of the podcast. Usually comes out the following day on Sunday. The times will vary on that, but you'll by probably 5 p.m. West Coast, it is usually out and about. So released to the wild. All right, I've rambled way too long talking about podcast nitty-gritty detail stuff. Let's talk about some of the stuff that's been going on this past week. Mark,
yes,
I think you probably have the second most exciting thing that happened to anybody this past week.
Yeah.
You saw a movie.
Yeah, I saw John Wick 2.
Nice.
The sequel to the absolutely amazing John Wick movie with Keanu Reeves. The first movie I've seen about four times now. I love it. I can just watch
it. First movie was really good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The second one's really good as well. And it more or less carries straight on after, story-wise.
Okay.
It's really cool. His sort of like acting ability in this and his movement and his gun. What's the word for it? Is it gun flow? I don't know.
I'm not sure what you're getting at, but you threw me off with the very first sentence, which was acting ability and Keanu Reeves do not go hand in hand.
No, it's good. And his like his gunplay, the way he handles the guns and that, he just looks so professional doing it. And so I just, the amount of people he kills is unbelievable. And they're nearly all headshots. Just awesome to watch. I actually saw a YouTube video of him training for John Wick 2 on a real rifle range with real ammo. Have you seen that, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Yeah, so he's doing the real thing as well. He knows how to do it. So yeah, it's good. I highly recommend it. I'm not going to give anything away because obviously it's a newish film and I don't want to give any spoilers. But yeah, like I say, it carries on from the original film, more or less straight into it. And right from the first minute to the last minute, it's just action-packed. It's brilliant.
All right, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, your YouTube comment made me actually think of something else when you said YouTube and gun training and stuff. Mm-hmm. I saw a video this past week of a guy on YouTube, and he was taking a slingshot with metal ball bearings.
Yeah.
And he was breaking jugs and glasses apart with the slingshot. And he gets through the first one. He had his camera set up, and I think his wife was with him. And she was basically filming the slow-mo stuff of the – you know, they had the high-speed camera, so they had all the slow-mo happening. But – the third bottle he goes to shoot is a champagne bottle, and apparently the ball bearing hit it in just a way it basically ricocheted back on him.
Ooh.
Hit him square in the forehead.
Ouch.
He goes tumbling over, and you see the camera landing near him, and just blood starts trickling out of his – I mean, the ball bearing was embedded.
Yeah.
It was the nastiest thing I've ever seen. So, yeah, don't
Ouch.
Play with slingshots and bottles, kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. The famous last words, by the way, is watch this.
Hold my bear and watch this, yeah.
I've seen there's a new right. type of sling. That it's not like a catapult, the a traditional one. It's like a different thing with a cup type thing. Have you seen that?
No, it was a standard like wrist rocket slingshot. So, you know, it's...
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen it. It might be on YouTube where they've got these new things and they're really powerful. They're just, like I say, once you've got a steel ball bearing in there, as deadly as a bullet.
So, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, in essence, it is a bullet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's really what, a bullet, after all, is just something.
It's just a slug of metal.
Ball bearing, lead slug being propelled. So, yeah. Anyway. All right, Kim.
Yes.
Some exciting news going on here. You're talking about taking a shower, and then you talk about fiber optics. So I'm just saying, are you
and
putting on
laid.
A show? What's going on?
Yeah, that's it. You know, got to pay off these house debts.
New webcam, okay.
Yeah, you know, got to make some money somehow. No. We finally got a new shower, and we're in the process now of getting it put up. So that's exciting because as soon as we get the shower up and the gas pipe run, we're moving into this bitch, so and as if the internet gods smiled down upon me this week, the people have finally showed up to start putting the fiber optic in the ground so I can get better internet. So they've got about halfway done, so I figure they'll be back next week to finish laying down the rest of it, and hopefully not long after that the telephone people should be here to hook it up to the house. So finally, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, hopefully by the end of June, we should be start moving.
Excellent.
So
that has been a long time coming. I know that.
Oh, you're telling me.
Yeah.
I am ready. So
you are ready. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And so the shower going up, though, I mean, everything's going along. You're going with the insert now, though, right? That's the final decision was made?
Yeah. It's finally here. And like I said, he started to put the walls up for the actual, you know, insert to go into. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited. Like I said.
What have you been up to?
Well, there's been quite a bit going on. Bowling. Let's talk about the bowling. This is important. Had a first league night. It started off well. And then by third game, my wrist, for whatever reason, I don't know what I did, but I was tired. That's the best way I'll put it. But I shot like a 169, a 159, and then a 131. The 131 was definitely the low light. I just was getting all kinds of I was leaving the 9-pin a lot. But one thing I was going to say, bowling tip for those out there, because I know everybody loves my bowling stories. No, really, I know you do.
Have you hooked up with Kyle Adams yet to do your own bowling podcast?
We've not set it up yet, but certainly we've had bowling conversations.
Yeah.
it has been going back and forth. But, you know, for anybody, when you are bowling, you know, one of my big pro tips is, it's a very simple one. When you pick the ball up, a lot of people will pick the ball up and they will put it into their throwing hand, and they'll carry it around with their throwing hand. And you know, in a sense, they're just holding it in the hand they throw the ball with. Mm-hmm. And when you're bowling in league, you're bowling multiple games, typically three or four games in a night. So that's a lot of bowling. That's throwing the ball a lot. You don't need to tire your arm out more by holding the ball in that hand. So always hold the ball in your offhand. Even if you're cleaning it, whatever, you want your ball in your offhand. This way, when it comes time to throw the ball, you put your fingers into the hole, and then you bear the weight. Yeah. So,
good tip.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's that. Let's see. You know, I've actually played quite a bit this past week, but, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, because there was a discussion on another podcast, and they were just talking about finding time to game when you have a family. And it's an interesting question because, you know, I find that, you know, my gaming time has definitely been decreased of late. Yeah. The older my son has gotten, and this is kind of one of those funny things, because you would think it would be actually the opposite. You'd think as they get older and they become a little more self-sufficient and self-reliant that your time would be freed up. But it seems like your time just becomes even more in demand because they're wanting to do things. You have to do things with them, and it's just not as free as it used to be.
Yeah, and you've got to be careful as well. The older they get out of the toddler stage, when they can learn easily and pick things up really quick, you have to be careful what you actually play, because you can't play games which are adult rated, because they'll pick it up, or they'll see something they're not supposed to do. So yeah, that restricts you when you've got young ones as well. I'm quite lucky because my lad's, well, he thinks he's grown up, but yeah. so I don't have that, but yeah, I've been through all that. You've got to be careful what you actually put on the screen.
Yeah. So, but you know, I sneak it in, and it's funny because I used to be a person that would game late at night often. Of late, I have been just dead tired by the end of the evening, and so gaming at night has become difficult. Whereas gaming early in the morning still is more viable. Although I get up and I'm instantly wanting to go hit the gym, I'm wanting to go take care of, you know, my work stuff and get the day started. So I've been struggling kind of where to find that gaming time in, you know. And again, even though that's been limited somehow or another, this past week I was able to get quite a bit of gaming in, so I was pretty excited about that. So I guess maybe that's what we can lead into. Let's just start talking about what we've been playing. So, Kim, I think this actually is right on the heels of what I just was saying. you pretty much haven't had any time to game this past week.
No, not much at all. It just seems like the amount of time I've had is right before I go to bed. I flip it on, I turn Jim's War on enough to collect my daily loot, and then I turn the damn thing back off and go to bed. Go to bed. That's about the extent of my gaming time this last week, or maybe two. So if I have any more time than that, I just dawdle in The Witcher 3 or, you know, screw around in Andromeda, but there's not really any progress being made in anything. So
what's the daily loot then? I didn't know you got daily loot in that game.
One of them deals, like if you log in like every day, they give you like 300 gold, and it just keeps going up from there. So like now I've been logged in for like a week, so I get like 600 and some dollars worth of gold. So it helps, because you use that for other stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. By the way, quick shout out to RCGC. I almost screwed that up. I saw RCGC in the chat, so I wanted to give that shout out. Mark, you finished some games this past week, finished a game, I should say, and then started another one.
Yeah, I finished Doom. I talked about it last week, but I finished Doom. I was right when I said I was halfway through. I was exactly halfway through. And those last six levels were just as fun as the first six. The last boss was tough, but doable. With a bit of guidance from my lad, he claims to have helped me, but he just gave me prompts when the boss was doing certain attacks. If you learn the pattern, it's one of those where you learn the patterns and you can do the dodging. But yeah,
okay,
really, really good fun. Really enjoyed it. Like I said last time, graphically, really, really top-notch graphics and super smooth as well. The 60 frames per second, you can tell this game's polished. There's no stutter, there's no judder. It's just run superbly.
I'm looking forward to tackling it myself. It's on my to-do list.
Yeah,
it's long overdue.
Yeah, Bongo mentioned about the snap mode. So I tried that last week after I finished. All the like user-created content, and some of them are quite fun. And there's the obligatory achievement levels as well, like you get on Little Big Planet and stuff. So you can load up these game modes, and it'll help you get certain achievements. So it helped me get a few more achievements, like getting your combos up and or killing so many enemies in a certain amount of time with a certain weapon. So that's quite cool. I didn't get this last week because I didn't get that far in the game, but the last weapon you collect in the game, and this isn't a spoiler because everybody knows it's called the BFG.
Right.
And that weapon is, oh my god, that weapon is so good. It is so satisfying to use that weapon.
It's as good as advertised.
Yeah, it is as good as what you think it's going to be. Yeah, absolutely superb. So when I finished that, I thought, right, I want to start another game off my old list, but I don't want to do another shooter, and a lot of them are shooters on my thing. So I'm looking through, and I know Nicole said she enjoys this, so I've started Murder Soul Suspect on the Xbox One. I think I picked up in a sale ages ago for about £3. It was like next to nothing, and I think it's been on Games with Gold.
I think it was offered on Games with Gold, if I'm not mistaken.
After I bought it, usual case. And it's quite a unique experience, really. The premise behind it is, it's a bit like, you know, the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze.
It's
a bit like that, really, but you're a detective who used to be a criminal, but you're now a detective, and you get murdered looking for this serial killer, and you come out of your body like it does in Ghost, and you think, oh yeah, what's going on here? And you look around and your body's on the floor. So the object of you to move on is to find out who your killer is. So it starts
as I recall, because I played the opening of that game.
Yeah.
Isn't the murderer, doesn't it come across as almost like the murderer himself is supernatural in some way?
Oh, I don't know yet. I've not got far.
I was trying to remember.
I've only done the first bit. So what you do is you start investigating, so you can possess people, so you can look at their notes, or you can read their mind, listen to their thoughts sort of thing, or you can influence people to do things. So you work out this guy, where he went and what he was doing, because it pushes you out of a window of the top floor. So you go into the building, and there's little side missions, and one of the side missions is quite neat. There's another spirit in the basement, in the laundry room, and you go up to her, and she wants to know where her body is, because she's been murdered, but she doesn't know where her body is, so she can't move on. She says, the last thing I know was this old couple. So as you start looking around the apartment, you can walk through certain walls, and there's an old couple in an apartment. And so you start investigating.
So basically you become the ghost detective.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So there was a movie that came out that was kind of like this.
That's right, yeah. There's one in the UK called Randall and Hopkirk. One of them's dead.
I forgot who it was. Actually a couple fairly famous actors, and for the life of me I can't think of it, but they basically were ghosts, and then they possessed people's bodies so they could appear in real form. And like the hot chick was the old dude, for the life of me, it's totally escaping me. Anyway, the premise is out there.
Yeah.
Hopefully Murdered Suspect will be better than that movie, though, because that movie was utter crap.
Well,
it was very bad.
Yeah, I've heard some people say they don't like this, and some other people said they do. My nephew said he really enjoyed this, and Nicole says she likes it. And I'm enjoying it so far. I'm not that far into it. And to add a game dynamic to it, so you're not just investigating, to add an extra game element, there's demons. You're in this sort of like in-between limbo world. Before you move on, so there's these demons which can take your soul to hell, so you've got to dodge these demons, and to do that there's like whispers of spirit every scattered everywhere around, and you can hide in them, and it confuses the demon, and you can't bite, and you have to like move from one to one while he looks, and then he'll eventually give up and start going off on his patterned route again, and if you get behind one you can eliminate it. I don't know why they've put these demons. I think it's just purely a game mechanic to add a bit of extra element to the game. Because it was a bit of a surprise at first when I came across this demon. But yeah,
right.
So far, so good. Yeah, I'll have to see what the story pans out.
I remember
out
the
like.
Demons. Like, I mean, they had that. I don't want to say scary element to them, but I always had a lot of anxiety once I saw one of the demons, near me, in a hallway or whatever, and I knew I had to get past them.
Yeah.
And that anxiety, I think, is actually what got me to stop playing the game, because I was just kind of like, you know what, screw this.
Yeah. And similar to Assassin's Creed with the Eagle Vision, you can press one of the bumpers and you can see, you get like some sort of vision. So you can see where people are in the building through the walls, and you can see where the demons are as well, and the different places where you can hide. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see how that progresses. But, yeah, so far I'm enjoying it.
Okay, well, and speaking of hiding...
Yeah. Well, that's more Fraser than me. The other game I've been playing is a PC game. I said I was going to buy it, and I did.
Last week. We all knew, Mark. We all knew. We all knew it was going to happen.
And that is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and it's the big thing on PC at the moment. A lot of big-name Twitch guys, they're playing it, and it is a lot of fun. It was my son's birthday last week, and I bought it for him as well. So we've both got it, so we've been playing. You can team up.
Excuse me, Mark. I have to interrupt real quickly. Kim, spot on, RIPD, yes. Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Bridges. That was the movie.
RIPD, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
That movie was utter crap.
Yeah.
Utter crap. All right, continue on.
So I've been playing duos, and playing as a team is way better. Obviously supporting each other. So basically what it is, it's a battle royale. You start off with 100 people in an area in a lobby. Once everyone's together and the time runs out, you're in an airplane over an island. Everyone parachutes out. When you land, you got to scavenge for armor, weapons, first aid, bandages, and all that stuff.
Right.
In the meantime, you've got to make sure that you keep out of the way of other people if you're not armed, and if you are armed, you've got to kill the other people, because basically the last man standing wins, or the last team if you're playing the team mode. There's a game come out on Xbox One similar to this at the moment, called The Culling. I think you're talking about that, Greg.
Yeah, and I'll definitely be talking about that. Yeah. So definitely, there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the next sort of like bandwagon big thing, because H1Z1 has got a game mode called King of the Kill, and I think the guy who's done this game was on that development team, and he's branched off on his own. I think that's right. Fraser knows more than I do. But yeah, quite a few of us have picked it up now. Fraser's got it. Chinny's got it. Kevin Fay, 1985's got it. And we've got a WhatsApp group chat. So anybody who plays PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds wants to join our WhatsApp group chat to arrange game sessions. I think we're having a game after tonight's podcast as well. Just contact me or Fraser.
Are you going to stream it, Mark? Are you going to put it?
I might do, actually.
You should stream it.
Yeah, stream it, yeah. I mean, I can record it and put my own gameplay footage up next week then. Because at the moment, I'm watching someone online and he's got a big afro. And that is not something I'd have, because it makes you easier to spot.
Pro tip.
Yeah, a lot of this is keeping hidden. If you have to run to another spot. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I've missed one of the massive game mechanics of this. There's an ever-enclosing circle, which eventually shrinks really down small. So it pushes you together, so you have to engage in battle eventually. If you're outside the circle, you start taking damage. And the more you're outside the circle, the more damage you're going to start taking. It does give you a warning of when the circle's going to shrink. And also above your map, there's like a blue line in your little man. And the nearer your little man is to the blue bar is how close you are to the edge of a circle. They also throw in an extra thing, which there's like sort of like random red small circles across the map. And these are called red zones. And basically they're areas what are getting mortar fire. So no matter who you are, it's done by the computer. It's not a player-driven thing. There'll be mortar shells dropping everywhere, so that can kill you as well. So if you're in the red zone, you're best getting inside a building quick.
You don't want to be in the red zone or the blue zone, basically.
Yeah, so basically, find as much gear as you can. Get as high-level armor as you can. So you want a good helmet. There's three levels to everything, so a level 1 helmet, level 2, level 3. Level 3 is the best. You want a level 3 backpack, level 3 armoured vest, so you can take more bullet fire. And the weapons, when you get the weapon, they're never loaded, unless someone's dropped it. If it's a new weapon you're just picking up for the first time, it's always empty. So you've got that extra time of picking it up, and then you've got to pick up the ammo, load your weapon, and all this can take time. And if two people land at the same time and they're going in the same building, it can be quite frantic. I've learnt now to try land way away from everywhere else and just do a Fraser and sort of like hide out for a little bit. Try get inside the circle plenty of time, and then just like find a nice hiding spot. So
that'd be what I'd do.
Yeah. Me and my son came fourth in the duos once, and my son, the first time he played it, he came second on singles.
Okay.
Absolute legend he is. But he's really good at these sort of games. But he's that age and his reflexes.
We're playing the reflex card now.
Yeah.
Reflex.
Yeah, I take credit for it because I taught him everything he knows. I brought him up on Counter-Strike and Quake.
Alright.
So yeah, highly recommend this game. And like I say, if anyone wants a game with us guys, just contact me or Fraser and we'll get you hooked up. So that's it for me this week.
Okay. I have continued on further into Dragon Age Inquisition. I had thought I was actually you know, and it was kind of a surprise that suddenly the game might be coming to a close. But it turned out it was just one of those big plot twists where basically your encampment, your home, I should say, the castle that you're at, gets basically decimated, overrun. You have to flee.
You go to a new place. Yeah. I know exactly where you are.
I'm not even close.
Yeah, you still got a fair way to go. Yeah. And this new base you're at now is a lot bigger.
You made it to Skyhold then.
Yeah.
Yes. So that has been going on. A little NHL 17 and FIFA 17 with Mr. Gary DeFelice. That was lots of fun. Not exactly skills on display when it came to FIFA. We played two games. The first match was a draw, 0-0. The second match was a loss on my end, 1-0. But the highlight of this had to have been in the 0-0 draw. Gary had a penalty shot against me, and he once again, just like you, Mark, I think I have a curse on people.
Yeah,
he missed wide right.
Yeah. So I think you put it on. Did you put it on?
Oh yeah,
Twitter.
Yeah, I recorded. So, yeah.
Yeah,
that had to go out. Then we played some hockey, and in the hockey match, the first game, we played minor league teams, and we played the local affiliates to our favorite NHL teams, what their minor league affiliates would be. And so Gary, I forgot what the hell the names were, but in essence, Gary won in the last like 4 minutes of the game. He scored two unanswered goals and beat me 2-1. Pissed me off to no end. But then we switched up and we went to pro level and we played with our professional teams. And so I was the Sharks, he was the Islanders, and I shut him out 2-0. And it actually should have been worse. There was a couple shots that I thought I was going to get goals on that didn't go. But, you know, hey. So
talking of your best buddy Gary, he's picked up PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds as well.
Oh yeah, let's face it. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. I honestly want to just call it Battlegrounds because Unknowns is kind of.
Yeah.
I mean that's the studio, right?
Yeah, that's the guy who created it. Yeah.
So anyway, that game has been getting hugely popular.
Yeah.
There's a game that just launched out on Xbox One that had already come out on PC. Very similar to Battlegrounds, called The Culling. And apparently on PC, The Culling for a while was kind of the hotness as well. That's, again, a Battle Royale game. But I guess they made some tweaks, and I haven't been able to find out what the tweaks were, but apparently a lot of people hated on the PC side, the Steam side, they did not like the tweaks they made. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of fell out of favor. Again, very similar to Battlegrounds, you have this scenario of you have a battle arena that at intervals will shrink, and basically they use green gas that kind of encloses the map and shrinks down, forcing you to go into a central area. And much like PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, it's, you know, battle to the last one standing. But this is more like the Hunger Games, I think, than Battlegrounds is. In that, for the most part, it's all handheld weapons.
You don't have
guns.
I saw a bit on Twitch, and they were all like spears and swords and melee weapons.
Right. So but there are some ranged weapons. There are bows and arrows. There are, I believe, shotguns. You can find guns, but they're very rare. The other thing that I think is different from this, and I don't know if I like this mechanic or I don't yet, is that you can find. At first, I thought everybody just got them equipped, but apparently, you have to find it on the map. But there are. For lack of a better way to put it, they're like little Garmin, handhelds that basically are range finders to other players near you.
Right.
And they'll give you the direction of where the player is, and if they're farther than 99 feet away or 99 yards, it'll be 99 plus.
Yeah.
But so you can use that to track towards other players. Or obviously find out if a player's coming towards you. It doesn't give you specific location, but it has a little arrow to it. So it's enough that more or less as long as you have that thing out, you really shouldn't be getting snuck up on. But, you know, to wield a weapon, you have to put it away.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, there still are instances of catching players by surprise. But the battles, you know, unlike, I think, Battlegrounds, where they can be over pretty quick with the gunplay, in Battlegrounds, for the most part, all of the combat takes a little bit longer to unfold.
Yeah.
But I feel like the games go quicker because it is only 16 players, so yeah. It's not 100 players. But, you know, again, so many similar mechanics. You know, you start off on random points on the map. So you're not dropping in, you're not parachuting in.
Yeah.
But you're in these little pods that come out of the ground, and basically they open up a door and you walk out. And then you're searching and scrambling to find weapons. And like, you can take two rocks and basically you're which I kind of find funny, but you take two rocks and you mash them together to make a knife. I don't know quite how that works, but you know, through the powers of your magical hands, you're able to form a knife through mashing two rocks. But it's a rock knife. I'll at least give them that.
Because I know in the center it was like a ring stage thing,
right?
With
right.
The culling on it, and up. Yeah. So it's like a game show type thing, isn't it?
Yeah, very much yeah. So. It is. It's completely like a game show. In fact, yeah. You know, it's set inside this like dome. So at any point in time, if you want to, you can look up into the sky, and basically, as long as you're seeing it properly, there is a scoreboard up in the sky.
Yeah.
So it'll tell you who's alive and who was killed and by who, you know, who killed who. It's pretty good. It's not, you know, I don't have anything glaringly bad to say about it. I think that where it lacks a little bit compared to Battlegrounds, I think in the notion of the items that you're collecting, I feel like there's more variety in Battlegrounds of things to get, like vehicles, and you can get different weapons with different attachments.
Yeah.
The culling, it's so far feels more rudimentary, so there's not as much variety. And I'm trying to think of what else. Well, vehicles definitely play a big part in Battlegrounds, or can, and you certainly don't have any of that in the Culling. It's a much smaller map, comparatively speaking. And I would say probably about the last little thing that, you know, what I like about Battlegrounds and what I think is, you know, missing, and it's partly because of that little rangefinder tool that you have in the Culling, is that you don't have the suspense that you do in Battlegrounds. You know, Battlegrounds, you know...
Yeah, you never know where anyone is.
Yeah. It's constant, that constant fear of, you know, is somebody sneaking up behind me? You know, where are we at? What's going on? And, you know, you don't quite have that same feeling in the Culling. But that said, I do like the fact that it's more visceral. In that, you know, you've got this hand-to-hand kind of combat to it that it gives it a little bit more weight in terms of the combat, whereas in PlayerUnknown, you know, Battlegrounds, it's always a firefight. I think it's a rare time where you actually, you know, are doing, you know, an actual physical attack against somebody.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, you know, it stands out a little bit to me. It'll be interesting to see how it does. I mean, last night it definitely was, it just launched out yesterday on Xbox Live, and servers seemed like they were getting hit pretty hard. So I think they got a fairly decent response. You know, we'll see how it does.
Yeah,
I like these kind of games, though. I'm excited for them.
You're just playing the trial and you haven't bought it.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. It's in game preview. So
yeah.
Kind of like the same thing with Battlegrounds. You know, it's Battlegrounds is in early access. The Culling came out to the game preview for the Xbox, so you can do basically an hour free, download the trial. But the game itself is only $24.99, so there's a part of me that might just pick it up.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of these like multiplayer type battle games, another game came out last Friday, which I've been watching a lot of on Twitch, and it's been getting a lot of criticism because there's a lot of jankiness to it. But everyone's raving about it, and that is Friday the 13th. Have you mm-hmm. seen any of this?
Yes.
I watched Game Over Greggy from Kind of Funny Games playing it, and he was sort of like saying, oh, it's janky, and there's this wrong with it, that wrong with it. But they are updating it a lot. But it says just the gameplay is just so much fun. And basically what it is, it's a bit like Evolve, really. One person is Jason, and the rest of the people, I think there's 7 or 8 people, who are counsellors in the camp. So if you spawn as Jason, which is random, you have to kill all the counsellors. And if you spawn as a counsellor, you have to do certain things to enable your escape from Jason before he kills you. So you can get to a phone and ring the police, but before you can use a phone, you have to find a fuse to fix a phone. There's a car, but you have to find a battery and fuel. There's a boat, you have to find a propeller and fuel for that. And all the while, Jason, while you're moving about, he can sense movement. He gets little round pings on his in his vision.
And he can teleport, correct?
Yeah, and he's got 4 different type perks. One of them is where he can see people like eagle vision. If you're in a cabin, the whole cabin will glow red. Or if you're running around the woods, you'll see your red figure running around the woods. It can teleport, so...
I just saw a gruesome death on the stream.
The way the teleport works is, if you're a counsellor and he's near you, you get that dramatic music and you get all that sort of thing, the dramatic thing. And you know he's near you. And if you get, you know, like on a VHS tape, you get all the wiggly lines and thing.
Right.
If you see that, you know he's teleporting near you, and you see his little square on the map. And if he teleports right next to you and grabs you, he'll throttle you or do a gruesome kill, and it's really good. I've been fascinated by it.
You know, the thing I think that makes this game stand out or have some success versus what Evolve suffered from.
Yeah.
I think Friday the 13th does a good job in nailing what, you know, it's trying to emulate, which is you've got this, you know, this super monster that is hunting down and killing everybody, and that's his sole job. Yeah. And when you play Jason, your sole job is to go forward and kill.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about being killed.
No.
You can't get killed.
Oh, you can.
So, I don't think Jason can get killed. Yeah. He can get stopped.
Yeah, he can get stunned. He can get stopped.
Right.
But there are a couple of characters who can, if you gang up on him, they can take him out. There's one where you can ring up Tommy Jarvis, and he can do some damage.
You can never kill Jason.
But if you're playing as Jason, you keep hearing your mum, voices in your head, and your mum saying, kill them all, Jason, kill them all. And the end cutscene at the end of the game, you go in and see your mum's like dead shriveled up body, and that. It's really good.
Right.
Jason can't go through windows, but the counsellors can. And the counsellors can, when they shut the door, they can pull that down like a blocking beam to lock the door. Mm-hmm. So if Jason wants to go through that door, he's got to bash it through. But one of his level-up perks is, once he's level-up so much, he's been in the game so long, it can have rage mod, so it can just burst through the door. It's really fun. It's really good to watch on Twitch. It's one of those games where you get excited with him, because you can... I watched Game Over Greggy do... He was playing as Jason, and you could hear it. It's got proximity chat, and you could hear the counselors when he gets to the building. He says, oh, shit, he's here. Quick, run, Jason's here.
Right.
And it's so much fun. It's brilliant. So, I'm tempted to buy this.
But going back to what I was saying, you know, the success I think that it has is because it has these defined roles.
Yeah.
So, you know, as Jason, you know your job is to go forward, it's to kill and kill the counselors. And as the counselors, you know your job is to escape. It's not to try and kill Jason, it's to escape. That really, you know, by hook or by crook, one way or the other, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. And so I think because they have those roles well-defined and people kind of already know coming into the game what those different characters' roles are, like, you know, if you come into a Friday the 13th game and someone tells you you're playing as a camp counselor, you know you are fodder and you need to run, you know. If you come into that game as Jason, you know your role is to kill. And I think the problem that Evolve suffered from is that when you played Evolve, you never quite understood what your role was, whether you were the hunter or the hunted. And I think, you know, it was always kind of one. I know they wanted to have that good back and forth, like you could be the hunter or the hunted.
Yeah.
But so much of me thinks that game would have been so much better if the players that were not playing the monster would have always just had some different random objectives to try and get to and to achieve and work on, kind of similar to what Friday the 13th has. And they, you know, they have their weapons, they can defend off the monster. And the role of the monster was to basically get bigger to the point that it could kill the people. But it was always the hunter, not being hunted. And I think that was part of what Evolve suffered from. And it's, I think, the success, you know, kind of where the success for Friday the 13th is right now.
And the developers have kept the cheesiness parts of it as well. And they know it's cheesy, they know it's janky.
Right.
Some of the character animations are a bit meh. And one of the achievements is for one of the characters. All the movies, there's a character from each of the movies. So, like,
right.
Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. There's different characters who you might recognise. And there's one, I can't remember his name, but he wears the white polo, white sweater around his neck and that. I think he's called Chad. And, he's got blonde hair. And he's got one of the worst animated faces. And the opening scene when you start the game is Jason comes in, kills someone. And then you all go, oh, no, he's killing us. And then that's when everyone scatters and the game starts. But it always starts with his Chad who just turns around and his face is, oh. And there's an achievement, which actually criticizes their own animations. So the developers are just taking the piss out of themselves.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, And what's awesome about this is I could see if they have success with this and they could make some money off of it. I mean, think about DLC options. If they could go out and get the licenses for Michael from Halloween, from Freddy from Nightmare on Elm Street, and then suddenly you can introduce some new maps, you know, different maps, but the same mechanic, but different monsters.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Halloween one would be set in a hospital.
Yeah.
You know, the Freddy one would be set in a school.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things you could do and really, you know, create an even bigger game. So,
yeah.
Hats off to them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we totally got sidetracked.
I know.
There, by the way.
And exactly the same with Battlegrounds. That's just by watching it on Twitch. So, I'm going to be very tempted to pick this up. If I do, it'll be on Xbox. So you can play it as well, Greg. Because it's on all formats, it's on PS4 and PC. And I don't think it's full price either because it's just a multiplayer only game, so they've done it cheaper, which is good. That's how it should be. So very tempting.
I think developers, especially the smaller developers, are getting wise to pricing their games out a little bit better. I still think AAA developers suffer a little bit. They don't quite understand, you know, everything comes out at $60 and it's not always worth $60. Anyway, all right. Back to finishing out my playlist.
Yeah, right.
Crossout. I played. This is a free to play game that just launched out
downloading.
On.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was.
Xbox One as well. Was also a PC game. This is a game that is straight up a PC port. It's a Mad Max car game, it's not a racing game. This is just a car combat game. You are set in this futuristic apocalyptic world where you are scrapping together your vehicle from parts and creating basically these armored vehicles. On paper, it sounds awesome. And the mechanic of building out your car is very detailed. You can clearly see when you get into the menus, this is a PC game that has been ported over to a console. The menu system itself, I think, for a non-mouse-driven menu system isn't terribly intuitive. If I had a mouse, I probably would be feeling a little more comfortable with clicking around everywhere. The real shame in this game is that, you know, it has this really deep modification system. The basic premise is there, and then you get into actual gameplay, and it all falls apart.
So the building's driving, fun, and the game's not.
So the driving is done by sticks. Your left stick controls forward, backwards, left and right. Your right stick controls your turrets, so you're able to aim and shoot while you're driving.
Right.
But and maybe this is just because it's the early vehicles in the game, but they handle like they're horrible. So you're fighting the handling constantly, and then the combat itself is just arena combat where you're just dumped into this arena and it's kind of, you know, kill the other team. And so, it's just, for lack of a better way to put it, I'm uninspired when I'm playing it. I'm just kind of bored. So as much as I love the ability to build up a car and to add stuff into it, I just don't feel like playing the game. So that's a problem.
And this is a free-to-play as well, isn't it?
It is free-to-play. So there's obviously microtrans.
Yeah, I'm going to say, how do they make the money? What are the transactions for?
The transactions look like they're all for kind of more cosmetic-type stuff, but, I didn't get that far into that area of it. I wasn't going to pay anything to try the game out. I won't be playing it again. I've already deleted it off my hard drive. So, yeah.
Well, when you put that, I deleted it without even starting up.
Yeah. Last game, and this is one of my favorite games from this generation, and that is The Division. Finally finished out the campaign, thanks to Mark joining me. Thank you, Mark. That was great. But I still see myself, I'm going to be going back to this game.
Lots
of DLC.
You've just hit the end game now, so it's just starting, really.
A lot of people say
that's a bit of a cliche, but yeah, the end game is the start of a whole new bit of a game. Getting the gear score and doing all the other daily missions and challenges.
Yeah, it's impressive how much they have supported this game. And they made the missteps early on when I think it was one of the first updates they did kind of broke the game a little bit, and they got a lot of backlash from it. But since then, they have been really great about supporting this game. And, you know, there still are a ton of people playing this game.
Yeah.
Anytime I go into a safe house anywhere within the map, I'm always seeing players coming in and out. So, I would say if you're ever, thinking you're going to pick up The Division, you should. It's worth picking up.
Yeah, and the development team, they've done it since day one, I think. They do a weekly live stream of all the changes they're going to implement and different aspects of the game. So, yeah, they've really supported this very, very well. Loved this.
Yeah, good stuff. So, all right. That does it for what we've been playing. Why don't we jump into some news? Believe it or not, there is quite a bit of news. A lot of quick bits, but we've got some news.
That's me.
Oh, yeah.
Here is the fucking news.
I'm used to things
doing
not
it
working.
Live.
Yeah, I'm used to things not working.
All right. Well, first, the probably biggest piece of news this past week was that Nintendo was confirming the details of its paid subscription service to Kotaku. So this is an article that just came out basically last night. Nintendo Switch Online subscribers will have ongoing access to a library of classic games, and with added online play, users can play as many of the games as they want, as often as they like, as long as they have an active subscription. So that's huge. I mean, that's a big change from what they first said, which was they will have access to one game a month. So that's a really big change. And let's face it, that's a big change for the better. They added, Nintendo Switch Online subscribers will be able to play a variety of classic games, including Super Mario Bros. 3, Balloon Fight, Dr. Mario, and more. So they're going to announce more games at a later date. The launch of the classic games library will include NES games. Super NES games continue to be under construction, but we have nothing further to announce at this time. So just NES games to start, but clearly it looks like they will support down the road SNES games into this service, which just makes sense. They did not say whether this will replace the virtual console system, which Nintendo currently has up. But it did say that it would allow fans to buy old, sorry, that's the actual virtual console, never mind. They have nothing to announce, basically, whether the virtual console will continue or it will go away. My guess is they will continue the virtual console for the Wii U and the 3DS and the Wii.
Yeah.
But that for the Switch, this will be the new service.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's to me, that's some very positive signs. I mean, you know, we all are pretty critical of Nintendo in their online service, but this seems like, you know, it's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we could talk about the ridiculous headset that they showed off for Splatoon. Just look it up, folks, if you haven't seen it. But yeah, so I they have a long way to go. They're not out of the woods yet, but, you know, at least they're figuring some of this stuff out. This is definitely a step in the right direction. It's very consumer friendly, which is good. All right. On to other smaller news. So a lot of game announcement stuff happened this past week, which I was kind of surprised by.
But it's been the norm, hasn't it, recently, that a lot of stuff gets announced before E3, which is always baffled me. Why not wait till E3?
You know, I think people do that because they want to get some kind of spotlight for their game announcement. And if they wait till E3, likely the stuff that we're hearing announced right now is going to get overshadowed anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, Iron Galaxy, who, if you're not familiar with Iron Galaxy Studios, they made Killer Instinct for the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Fantastic work, if you ask me. But they announced a multi-platform game called Extinction.
Right.
And this is coming early 2018. There's a trailer out there, so you can look it up if you can find it. But Extinction basically looks like you're going to play as a hero character. It looks like it's going to be an action kind of game where you're going to likely be running around sword and shield back in kind of medieval times. But in essence, the trailer, the launch trailer shows off this giant, you know, trolls, for lack of a better way to put it. I mean, they're giant green trolls coming into this town and just weighing lace to the town, killing civilians. And your hero is there and it seems like you are some kind of special hero, you know, for lack of a way to put it. You know, maybe you're coming from a special, you know, breed of individuals that has been, you know, kind of like the Grey Wardens of Dragon Age. You know, your job is to fend off the world from these evils. So that's what you're doing. So, and I see, Mark, you found the trailer.
Yeah, it looks quite cool, actually, the trailer.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I say giant trolls, I mean, they are massive compared to your character. But your character clearly has some, you know, very strong powers to it. You're able to basically hack off limbs of these giants. So, be interesting to see when we get more of it, but this is a very serious game, and it's a different direction from Iron Studios. Yeah. Iron Galaxy. So I'm looking forward to seeing more from this.
Me too.
All right, Kim, do you remember Kerbal Space Program?
Yeah, a little bit.
He's big on PC.
Kerbal Space Program was a little indie game. Launched, God, I want to say 3-4 years back.
It's been a while.
Came to consoles with a whimper. I mean, it didn't do very well on consoles. It got beat up a lot, and rightly so. I think the mechanics and the UI on consoles was not very well done.
It's more of a PC game, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a PC game, but it's lived. It's still out there. It's a thing,
there's
apparently.
There's still people streaming on Twitch, Kerbal Space Program. Right. There's some dedicated people out there.
Well, their dedication is paying off. Take-Two Interactive bought Kerbal Space Program. Basically, Take-Two Interactive bought the rights to Kerbal Space Program. Basically they said that this is going to be taking this to build it into a long-term franchise. And so, you know, we'll see where they take this. That's kind of interesting that they would buy this because, I mean – you told me Take-Two was going to be buying an IP and they were going to be buying a game for long-term profitability. This was not the game I would pick.
No.
All right. SoundCloud has launched on Xbox One. And it should be also coming to Windows 10 PCs and tablets by end of this week. So by now. But SoundCloud coming out on Xbox One before Spotify, which is kind of an ironic thing.
I don't think it is, though, because as a PS4 owner, Spotify's got a deal with Sony. They're on the PS4. They've been on there quite a while now. So whether they've got some sort of deal with Sony. But Microsoft got their own service anyway, Groove, so they wouldn't want to jeopardise their own subscription-based service with it. I don't know, they might do, but yeah, I'll be honest, I like Groove. I've been using the 4-month free pass what I got with the recent offers, and you can use Groove inside Forza Horizon 3 as a radio station, so you can listen to your own music. It's quite cool. Okay. Groove. I like Groove.
All right, well, apparently SoundCloud will allow you to do the same thing, so you'll be able to listen to your music, you know, play in the background.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, hey, options are always good.
Yep.
Sony has ended PS3 shipments in Japan. So 11 years after its release, they're finally stopping the PlayStation 3 in Japan. You know, I mean, that's that was a really good run. I mean, that's a console that... I mean, they started out real. They struggled. I'm watching your cat bouncing all over the place, Kim.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yes.
Pain in the ass, telling you.
Yeah, but you know, the PS3. I think, you know, that is going to be one of those consoles that, as we look back on it in history, I think it's going to be very underappreciated. Because I think it's always going to have the stigmatism of its launch. But at the end of the day, I think they actually had a fairly successful run. I mean, they sold over 80,000 units.
Yeah,
or 80 million.
80,000.
80,
yeah, the latter part of its life, I quite enjoyed the PS3. Like you say, it was just the early days, it got a bit of stick, and they didn't do any favours by the way they advertised it and launched it and the pricing. But they've learned by their mistakes. They've not done that with a PS4, they've done that right.
Yep, yeah, they definitely have learned.
Indeed.
So there you go. So if you need a PS3, do not go to Japan for it. you'll probably get one in the States or in the UK, but not in Japan. Middle Earth Shadow of War was delayed, so it's moved away from August 22nd, and is now shipping October 10th. I'm just going to tell you right now, I think this is straight up a marketing move with Microsoft. We know this is a game that has a deal with Scorpio.
Yeah.
It was the first Scorpio announced title. So I have to imagine Microsoft asked them to push it out to coincide with the launch.
Here's a bucket of money. Probably, can you just delay it a bit?
here's a small envelope with some cash to go along with this request.
Yeah.
Slide that across the table. And lo and behold, now we have the shipping on October 10th, which, if you're thinking about this, kiddos at home, that means the Scorpio likely now, you know,
this might be
the launch
October window, launch. Yeah.
Right around October 10th. It could be October 10th or likely the next week, because often we get software the week before, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And some sad news for Mark. Player Unknown Battlegrounds, the developer has stat wiped and turned off Steam Family Share. But the good news, Mark, is that if you were already doing Family Share,
it's only for new accounts. Yeah.
It's retro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, a lot of people were abusing Steam Family Share, and so the developer just got pissed off about it.
But to be fair, one of the things what Steam sharing does, which is not as good as Xbox sharing. Say, like, I've bought Battlegrounds, so Gary DeFelice can use it, share my library, yeah? But if I am on Steam, he cannot access my games. He can only access my games when I am not on Steam. If I go on Steam, it will give him a warning saying, you're going to come out of this game in so many minutes unless you pay for it. So unlike Xbox sharing, we can both play at the same time, the same game, on the same purchase. You can't on Steam. But I'm sure people have found ways to abuse it, like it says there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a note here. So from the developer, say, we'll bind all family shared accounts to the same in-game character, but this will take us time to implement. So it almost sounds like you could make multiple characters on one account, and then have multiple people access that one account, or have multiple people sharing off the one account?
I don't know. I've only created, one character. I don't need to create more than one.
So, I don't know. For whatever reason, though, they turned it off, it was. I mean, it was specifically cited because of abuse from the player base. So all of those millions of people, we said that, 2 million people have been playing Battlegrounds. Apparently, 1 million of them have been cheating.
There's a few games on Steam that do that, though. Elite Dangerous is one of them. Although you can buy it either directly from Frontier or through Steam, if you buy it from Steam, you still have to register a Frontier account. So if you share in your library, if someone tries to play someone else's game of Elite, it'll make them want to log in with their Elite account. And if they don't have one, they can't play it. So there are a few other games similar to that who have done like third-party restrictions.
Well, ironically, Elite is the same way on Xbox One. I had to make a Frontier account before I could play it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure they will sort it out, and everybody will continue to go on loving the game. Yeah. Need for Speed Payback was announced. A trailer was launched. It is coming out November 10th, 2017, so just this coming holiday. It will be, in fact, taking place in Las Vegas. And from the video, when you watch the video, there's very much a Fast and Furious kind of vibe to the game.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious what the story mode is going to be. But they're talking about their crew, and they're talking about the crew being the best crew, and they can only do what they do. And it'll be interesting. Maybe they have a kind of a heist story mode to it. Maybe they just rip Fast and Furious off directly and go that route. Seems like it wouldn't be the worst idea.
No. There's a big truck in this as well, and I'd love it if you could play drive a truck, but I don't think you'd be able to. I think the object is to heist that truck, but it looks quite cool. But we all do, don't we? Need for Speed games. We always do a nice trailer.
Yeah, so. Kim, I don't know. I you don't strike me as a racing game fan, but Need for Speed is kind of a different. I mean, it's not really a racing game.
I'm not like the racing simulator, like the Gran Turismo sort of thing, but like Forza Horizon, where you can go a little more off road. Yeah. I'm more into something like that. So,
because
what was it, Dirt?
Yeah, Dirt.
Dirt
was great.
It was.
Yeah.
I like Dirt, so I'm more of that. I'm not disciplined enough to keep it on a track or a very good driver. Maybe that's
for the record.
I'm.
Neither am I.
So, I'm more of the off road. Really not. So I'd check into this. So
I've still got I think it might be on my Yolg. I've still got the last Need for Speed to play. Not most, but was
it Need for Speed Rivals?
No, the one after Rivals.
I don't know. I've got the crew on mine.
was that many of them? I've still got Rivals to finish as well. That was good. I enjoyed Rivals with the police chases. Yeah, good franchise.
All right, well, last piece of news, and this is one that will make Nicole very happy. And of course, you actually makes all of us pretty happy.
Yeah.
Gears of War 4 Rise of the Horde DLC is coming out June 6th. It's going to feature new skills for all classes, two new difficulty levels. One is called Inconceivable, and then Iron Man. Inconceivable is specifically dealing with, I believe, PvP, but Iron Man is more towards the campaign. Right. So basically finishing the campaign out without dying kind of thing.
With one life something, yeah.
and the big news, I think, out of this really is the crossplay coming to competitive play. So they are allowing PC players to play with console players in the competitive play. What they've done, though, as a way for console players, if they want to, level a playing field, if they feel it's not competitive for them, they can toggle basically for console only. Interestingly enough, though, it doesn't mention that you can do that on the PC side. So I think the PC players just get, whoever they get, whereas the console players can literally block off anybody that's on a PC. That's a first. And I remember Microsoft, when they first came out with Gears of War 4, they were pretty adamant that they weren't going to be looking to do crossplay because they were worried about that competitive side of it, that, you know, a mouse and keyboard player was going to have a distinct advantage over not all console players, because I think there's a lot of console players on a gamepad that can hold their own. But at the end of the day, mouse and keyboard, from an aiming side of things, is just a lot more precision. So, that's an interesting turn. And then they've got new Chivos. So new achievements are coming with the DLC. I think it's like 500 new GamerScore achievements. And then obviously a lot of tuning fixes, and then two new maps. So they've got Rust and Avalanche. But it's not Rust, though. It's Rust Lung, I think, something like that.
Sounds right.
But that is a new map. That's like an underwater kind of facility, I believe. And then Avalanche is a remake from Gears of War 2, I think.
Yeah, I recognize Avalanche.
Cause it's the snow map
there's a siren, and then it wipes out the center of the map or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So environmental stuff absolutely still playing a part in Gears of War 4. All right. Well, that does it for the news. Kind of transitions us into just a little bit of a community segue, where we were talking internally, you know, as we were getting ready for the show, about a question that we were going to float out to the community. And to get the community started, we figured, we'll talk about it ourselves. But, you know, we'd love to hear from anybody, in the community, whether you're in the chat. By the way, hello, Martin. I know we had RCGC still in there, but I think Martin showed up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of games we look forward to. But how often have there been games where we've really been looking forward to it and that game disappointed us? You know, more than just it wasn't as good as we hoped. It was like it really disappointed us. And so I thought that was an interesting question. I had heard, you know, overheard it in a different conversation. So I thought I'd bring that to the table here. And, you know, it's kind of funny because, Kim, I'm going to let you start, because the first game in your list is a game that I look at and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's one of the best games we've ever played.
to be fair, I can't say it was a game that, you know, I was disappointed in. So actually, it probably shouldn't be on this list. It was just a game that I bought, and I don't know. I'm just not in the Division sort of mood, I guess.
Okay, so there, yeah. So it's the Division. You this let you down.
Sort of, but I don't think it was the game's fault. I just think I'm not in the mood to play it, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't scratch an itch I have, I guess. I don't know.
When you eventually come round to wanting to play it, just let me or Greg know, or both of us, and we'll help you through it. Because it is much fun playing together as teamwork.
Yeah. Good, because, you know, I've only played like a half an hour of it, so you'll definitely be dragging the noob around, because I didn't get far. I made my character and went to the first safe house. That's pretty much about as far as I've gotten.
You've not even touched any of it.
Yeah, I know.
I've
not given it a fair shake, and I know that. That's why I say it really probably shouldn't be on this list, but, you know.
Well, we'll throw this back around. So, Mark, what's the first game on your list?
The Assassin's Creed series. Even the first game, I love all the Assassin's Creeds, but Unity just sticks out like a sore thumb, and that game disappointed me big time.
One set in France, I believe.
Yeah, and that was the first one on the new consoles. It had many glitches and so many things wrong with it. They tried to do new things, and there were just so many errors with it. And for someone who loves that franchise so much, it was heartbreaking to see that game so broken. They did make up for it with Syndicate. I loved Syndicate. That was the one set in London with the twins.
Right.
Yeah, Unity left a bad taste in my mouth, unfortunately.
All right, well, speaking of leaving a bad taste in one's mouth, Robin will say something different than what I'm about to say, but Robin is dead wrong. Aliens Colonial Marines. I was so excited for this game. Mm-hmm. I was super pumped. All of the lead up to it, the things that we were being shown, you know, being a huge Alien fan of the series, but more specifically, the movie Aliens, to me, is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah.
So when they said they were making the game Aliens Colonial Marines, and they had passion behind it, they, you know, Gearbox was like, you know, we're going to make the proper game, we're going to do it right, and everything we saw was reflecting that. I was on board, and good God, that game sucked. It was absolutely horrible.
If I remember rightly, the trailers they showed at E3, the graphics when the game launched, you could tell they were like souped up.
Even what they launched, even on PC, did not remotely look like what they were showing off leading up to that. It was a PR nightmare for Gearbox. It was just a nightmare for gamers that bought the game, with the exception of Robin Tate, who at this point, you know, once you understand he loves that game, something wrong with him. Alien Colonial Marines, that game really stands out as one that I was super looking forward to and just let me down immensely. And I should add, my anticipation was that it was going to be good.
Yeah.
Leading up to launch day, and then suddenly it was like, oh no.
I know, that's the same with Unity. I thought, new generation consoles, beefy hardware, this is going to be fantastic. Just such a letdown.
All right, Kim, I think we've all picked three games, which, you know, we'll just keep going round robin here. So what's your next game on your list?
Two Worlds 2. It was an RPG, I was all excited because I love RPGs and all that, and I got it because I rented it from Gamefly, and I was never so glad in my entire life that I rented a game from Gamefly, because I played it for 2 days, and then it went back in the little envelope and went back. So it was just boring.
Yeah,
and looked terrible, and...
it ran like crap. I played it as well.
Yeah.
I think part of that disappointment on that game in particular was the first game that came out, Two Worlds. Mm-hmm. It was rough, but it had a lot of promise. And you know, often when we see a game, you know, the first iteration, you know, second game that comes out, you know, take Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2, you know, they improve things, they make things better. And so Two Worlds 2 had all this promise of being, you know, this great game, and
it was a slog. Those 2 days were awful.
No, absolutely. Mark, what's next on your list? Game that you were looking forward to and you were super hyped for kind of all the way up till launch, and then you got the game and it just was a thud.
I didn't even buy the game, to be honest. I got it. I played it on EA Access, but I heard so much bad stuff about it, and I saw so much bad stuff, and it's Battlefield Hardline. I love the Battlefield games. The arcade, Xbox Live arcade game 1943 on the 360 back then, right up to Battlefield 3 and Battlefield 4. Battlefield 1. They're all superb games, but Hardline, oh my god, Hardline is so bad. And I have played a bit of this game, and I ain't even put it on my old list because I don't even want to finish it. It's that bad. It's just shocking. I didn't like it.
The only thing I remember about the game was just the unlimited handcuffs.
Yeah, we said that earlier.
Yep.
It's always going to stick out in my mind.
Because Kim says the only bit she likes is the taser. I said, and the unlimited supply of handcuffs, which you're always getting from behind your back, and everyone you arrest. The animations and the gameplay, just everything,
it was bad.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know who liked it, though? It was Richard Webster. I think actually enjoyed it a lot, I think it was because he was playing multiplayer online.
Which I've not played.
The multiplayer online was Battlefield.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Battlefield with cop skins.
Yeah.
So my next game, and I should preface this, I should have never been hyped for this game. I should have known this game was going to be bad. But for whatever reason, and I think it's because I was one of those individuals that back on the original Xbox shelled out the $140 for Steel Battalion. I had the giant controller set up, and I loved that game. So Steel Battalion on the original Xbox holds a special place in my heart. And Steel Battalion Connect had, I think just, you know, I think in my mind I was making it out to be something it was never going to be. But I in my mind I was like, you know, no, they can get this. They can make it work. It doesn't have to be totally precise. They can be a little generous with movements. It'll be fine. You know, they said that they're going to use the controller in conjunction with, you know, the moving. So, you know, you're still going to get a controller, which I was like, that's the solution. That's what's going to make this game work. And Steel Battalion Connect came out. And I tried my best for like a week to be like, no, it's a good game. It's okay. It's not as bad as they say. And finally, I just admitted, you know, it was bad. And that was a big letdown for me because I really, you know, I think it was the nostalgia factor for me. Obviously, I was going back to my Steel Battalion days. I mean, I still, I can't defend it. I was going to start defending this stupid Kinect game, but I can't. I can't. Yeah. I won't.
Well, it's just it simple functions didn't work, like the hand grabs and stuff, and it's just nothing.
Well, actually, so some of the things worked really well. Like reaching up and pulling down was fantastic for pulling up the scope. It was the forward. Anytime you had to do something that went forward with your, you know, in front of your body and it had depth to it, that was always a problem for Kinect. Maybe this game would have done better on the Xbox One version of Kinect.
The better version of Kinect. Yeah, I was just going to say it's come out a bit too early. Mm-hmm.
That ship sailed also. So we will put it to bed. We will bury it as a disappointment for sure. All right, Kim. Next game on your list.
And the biggest, probably, disappointment of all, Dragon Age 2.
And you loved Dragon Age 1, didn't you?
Oh,
yeah. That was a pretty big disappointment. I look back on that game and I think, well, I don't know. You tell me, Kim. What was the disappointment from your end?
Well, like a lot of people have said, they reused kind of the same, like, dungeon stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone cave and everything else looked like the last cave you were in, that was bad. And another one for me is I hated my companions. There was not one decent companion. And the one decent one you thought you had, and he turned out to be totally wrong. And it's just, I don't know. They definitely hurt. You could definitely tell they rushed it to get out, and they were because of the Dragon Age Origins hype.
And help me out here, because I have to remember, mm-hmm. but I want to say this was also a divergent in that in Dragon Age Origins and even in Dragon Age 3 or Dragon Age Inquisition, I guess is the proper game name. But you created your own character and you kind of had that one character that you were controlling. But I want to say in Dragon Age 2, wasn't that like a brother sister that were the main two characters?
Yeah.
And I don't recall if you really had customization of them or not.
Not a whole lot. Not compared to what the first one started at and then what Inquisition ended up being.
Right. You couldn't change their voices or anything like that. It was all very set stone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So after the big hype that was Origins, and I loved it, and then to go to this. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be people out there that's, well, I don't think Dragon Age 2 was all that bad. And you know what? Maybe it wasn't. But when you look at it after... Yeah, but after you look at it after playing Origins and then like even now with Inquisition, it was definitely the odd duck. You know,
I think the only thing that really came out of Dragon Age 2 that I thought was good was mage combat.
Yep.
The mages with their staffs, they suddenly, you know, it was, they felt like a viable fighter on the battlefield compared to... And the first one, I think they were just kind of the spellcaster in the back that was fragile. But yeah, I completely forgot about the reused caves. There was like one cave for like an entire map. They just reused the same one, and then they would just wall off certain doorways.
Yeah.
And the best part was the walling off. I mean, it looked like they walled it off. They didn't even like put texture of just like dirt or whatever. Yeah. That was pretty horrible.
I mean, it's bad enough that I didn't even go back to finish it. I never finished Dragon Age 2. I just, maybe I could bring myself one of these days to go back and try and finish it, but it just, I got to the point of just like, no, back away.
Back away from the Dragon Age 2.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, next game on your list.
I've got Evolve. Quite a few of us got suckered into the hype, even down at E3. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually play at E3, but I was there when Robin, Chinny and Stu and everything, they all played it and came out and went, oh yeah, fucking fantastic, this is going to be the new fucking source, this is brilliant. And they were so pumped for it. And then the alpha came out and it was diabolical, he couldn't connect to it again. Then the beta came out and it was still horrible. And then a lot of people didn't buy the game, and then reports of the game kept coming and saying how terrible it was. Then we got it free, didn't we, on Games of Gold, and I just...
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it lived up to the other two versions, the alpha and the beta. I just didn't like it.
I don't think I've deleted it yet, but I have. Pretty much... I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it had so much potential, but, yeah, it became a bit of a lame duck.
Yeah, you know, I, and again, I think, you know, just kind of looking back on it, I think that... It suffered, you know, from one, the alpha and the beta. I mean, it had so much time in the public prior to release.
Yeah.
That
everyone was talking about it. It was getting best of E3 things for upcoming games. The marketing as well. Jesus.
Yeah. I just think it had too much public time. Yeah. You know, this is one of those instances where a game is out in the public for so long that it hurts it, and I think the original Titanfall actually suffered a little bit of this too. It had not only time for people to get excited about it, but it had enough time for people to suddenly also start really scrutinizing it and looking beyond the initial layer and starting to see, well, there isn't really all that much to the game once you get past that initial play. And that was the same thing with Titanfall, if we think back to that. Yeah. You know, they didn't have the single player. And then like, oh, we're going to add in the single player campaign. But that was just playing the multiplayer match.
It was just multiplayer matches.
So
the thing with Evolve as well is the marketing was really, really shoddily done. The DLC packs they were releasing and charges for it were stupid. The way they did it.
They didn't do themselves any favors. You know, I mean, I wish all the best for Turtle Rock because I think they're good developers. Yeah, but that was a...
Like I said, that game could have had so much potential.
Yeah. Well, that leads us to my last game that disappoints. And this one's a tough one because I was... So Quantum Break. I don't think it's a bad game, but...
This is on my yellow position.
I was really looking forward to the game, and it disappointed me... You know, in that it wasn't as good as it could have been. I think that they could have added some things to it that would have made it a lot better. And it also got spoiled for me a little bit because they had this weird issue with lighting on I think the PC and the Xbox version. And it was happening when you were in instant play mode. So if you had your console set up to start up quick. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, the lighting was basically having this glitch where suddenly all of there's certain lights that would be normally kind of maybe, you know, a directional light, but they would kind of illuminate more than they would be a beam. They suddenly were turning into like beams, and so they were literally blinding you on the screen. To where you weren't seeing things, like they would flash the screen, and you couldn't see, and it really was distracting, and ultimately really made the game, you know, difficult to play through, and I slogged through that because I actually loved – I actually really liked the TV cutscenes in that game.
Yeah.
I thought they were actually really well done, and I enjoyed that aspect of it. So I wanted to see where the story went. But I finished that game, and then they came out with a patch that fixed everything.
Oh, so they fixed it now, yeah.
They fixed it.
And you don't want to go back to it.
Finished it. So it was a disappointment to me. It was a letdown. You know, I thought that game could have been really good. I think it was just okay. You know, good game, not great game. And then on top of that, the bugs really that kind of ruined it for me personally. So, all right. Well, that was a fun discussion. But what we really want to do now is hear from the community. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking about some games that you were looking forward to leading all the way up to the release of the game, and then you got the game home and it disappointed you tremendously, we'd love to hear that. So, you know, tell us about those. And I think that'll be a nice little conversation to have next week right before E3, because E3 is all about that pre-game hype. And, you know, we all get excited about all of those games, and then suddenly they come out, and we're like, oh.
Yeah.
All right. So podcast trivia. We actually have a couple trivia questions. Now, sadly, there's nothing on the line here. This is pride we're talking about, because yeah. Nicole Radowski, she did, in fact, win the news quiz once again. So she is a two-time winner. She is the best guesser of the guessers. And, okay, you know, filled with good, you know, that there is something to be said, though. You know, to be a good guesser, you have to have a base of knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, we do have a couple pieces of trivia from good old Jason Johnson. And I said, Jason, because this is nothing's on the line here, but let's have some fun with this. Let's make some questions maybe geared towards E3.
Oh.
And so he sent in two questions. So here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number one. And, of course, if you're listening to this at home, we're going to do two multiple choice questions. You can play along at home. You will get no points from me, but Mark will send you lots and lots of fake money through the internet to a email address of your choice. What year did Nintendo last have a major E3 press conference? So what year... Did Nintendo last have a stage press conference? That's basically what we're talking about. Not a, you know, a video, you know, their Nintendo Treehouse videos. But what was the last year they actually had an E3 conference? Was it A, 2012, B, 2013, C, 2014, or D, 2015? What was the last year that Nintendo had a major E3 press conference?
Right, I'm ready.
All right. I need your answers in 3, 2, 1. All right. Kim and Mark both have had said C, 2014. And Kim and Mark are both incorrect.
Oh,
it was 2012.
12.
And that was the year they announced the Wii U. That was the last year they did an actual stage conference.
I thought it was only a couple of years ago when we stopped when we started doing Nintendo Directs. God, is it so long ago?
I specifically remember this press conference because I remember them coming out with the Wii U and everybody thinking,
is it an add-on?
Is it an add-on?
Yeah. Is it a new console? You didn't even see the console. You just saw the gamepad, didn't you?
Right, right.
Yeah, I remember
they showed
that.
The gamepad, and nobody knew if it was a new console or what. Yeah. It was the most confusing announcement ever.
Yeah. God, was that long ago? Right. Wow.
Well, well done to nobody.
Well, nothing to lose.
We'll
anyway.
Try for our second question. I guess par for the course, right? Right.
Yeah,
what year was the first E3 held?
I knew that was going to be a question, and you told me this.
What year was the first E3 held? Was it A, 1990? B, 1992, C, 1995, or D, 1997?
Oh, you didn't even give me options of what I thought it was.
First E3 held. 90, 92, 95, or 97? I need your answers in 3, 2, 1.
I honestly thought it was 96 for some reason, but...
All right. That well, wasn't even an Kim option. Has said D. She believes it was 1997. And Mark has said 92. B, believing it to be 1992. And the two of you are both incorrect, as it is 1995.
Wow.
Yeah, the first E3 was held from May 11th through the 13th, 1995, at the Los Angeles Convention Center. So there you go.
I'll be darned.
Well, thank you, Jason Johnson, for the trivia, as always. And we appreciate that. And hopefully those of you playing along at home were able to get the answers correct, unlike the two hosts. Yes, that was a dig. It's easy for me to make fun of you guys because I'm not answering questions.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let us move on to games coming out. New releases. Kim, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. Our new releases for June 3rd through June 9th are Elder Scrolls Online Morrowind for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on June 6th. Gardens of the Galaxy Episode 2 Under Pressure, PS4, Xbox One, PC, iOS, and Android on June 6th. Wipeout Omega Collection for the PS4 on June 7th. Ooh. Dirt 4 for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on June 6th. Those are our new releases.
All right. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back real quickly. I didn't see it in the chat, but Martin had chimed in on games that he was disappointed by. Star Wars Battlefront for him. Disappointed. He says, that was a game I couldn't wait for, and I wish I had waited. I think that goes back to a lot of these multiplayer-only games that don't necessarily have a story to them. I think oftentimes... there's a rush to jump into those games, you know, at the start because you feel like you're going to get left behind. But I don't know. You know, that's a game that I honestly don't play. I was never really excited for it, and I don't know why, because I love Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I think the lack of single player really put me off to that game. You know, and it's something that's kind of funny because I was never one to be touting, single player is a necessary element. But I think Titanfall actually got me turned on that. And I realized I really do like having, even if it's only a 6-hour campaign, hello, Call of Duty, that a single player game attached to the bigger multiplayer experience is still really important to me. It helps me kind of get immersed in that. I don't want to say community, but in that that world. Yeah. And so for Star Wars, I just, you know, that was a game that as soon as I saw it and I played the demo, the trial, I was like, holy crap, this game needs a single player. And because it didn't have one, I just really didn't have a big desire to play it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's out now on EA Access... I was quite excited that it was coming on EA Access, and I've downloaded it, and I've not even touched it yet since it's been on EA Access. I think partly because I'm a bit scared of going on there because it's been out so long, and everyone's probably going to be really, really good, and I'm a noob at it, and I wouldn't last 2 seconds. That's part of it. The other part is just time, really.
Right.
But yeah, the Star Wars Battlefront 2 single player. Stuff that interests me. If that's as good as what they say it's going to be, that'll be a turning point for me because it'll be like Titanfall 2 with a single player on that. I love that single player game.
That was fantastic. Yeah. And man, talk about a universe that, you know, let's face it, Star Wars seems like it writes games itself. Every time we see a new movie, the comic books, the whole nine yards. I mean, that's a universe rich with material, so coming up with a single player story should not be difficult. Just saying. All right, I think we're at the Year of Living Gamerously part. Mark, I've been running at the mouth for most of this podcast, so I'm going to make you take over on this section, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So the Year of Living Gamerously, this is Bongo's brainchild. And it's basically an incentive to play all the games you've bought in either day one or in sales, which you've never sort of like finished, you may have started or you've not even touched. So rather than buying any games this year, you concentrate on your year living games. Just like you have a small budget to buy games, but you're concentrating on your 30 of the games you've got called your Dirty 30. So Bongo's been tracking all these, and he's incorporated into the Victories Achieved, which is another little thing we're running. Once you complete a game, you can send a photograph of your face with the credits in the background of a finished game. You tweet that off to OC_podcast, and you get entered into a quarterly prize draw to win a $20 or £15 gift card for the gaming platform of your choice. It actually runs out end of June, so there's just this month left to get your entries in for this one. And we've got some Victories Achieved this week. The following first lot are going to be YOLG ones, Year of Living Games, just the completions. So we've got PG Tips finished Comic Jumper, Chinny 1985 finished Her Story, Awesome Rob 029 finished Rise Son of Rome. That was another disappointment of mine as well. Bobbins finished Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Some guy called Marcanics finished Doom. John Mouse finished two games. He finished Metal Gear Phantom Pain. I love that game. And Prison Architect. Daddy Yikin finished Halo 5. And some other dude called Murphy's Law finished The Division. And he finished that today with me.
Yes.
And a regular Victories Achieved non-Yolg is Infected Psych. And he finished Azura's Wrath, which I've heard is terrible. I think Chinny slated that game.
Azura's Wrath. Wasn't that the crazy one where you had like
massive
the
god or something?
Massive gods and... Yeah. It reminded me very much of... there's a comic book. Not comic book, an anime series. Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
So... I may be doing Dragon Ball Z a disservice. I don't know. But yeah, I don't like Dragon Ball Z either. So,
and
no, ahead. I don't either. So.
Last week we mentioned the games with gold for Xbox, but the PlayStation Plus for June have been announced this week, which will be available on Wednesday, I believe. So on the PS4, you can get Killing Floor 2 and the whole season of Life is Strange. And
nice.
On PS3, there's Abyss Odyssey and WRC5 World Rally Championship. And there's two Vita games which are both cross-play with PS4. Nice try, Robin. Neon Chrome and Spy Chameleon. So they're your PS Plus games for June.
All right. Excellent. Where are we at? Well, I guess we are wrapping things up. So, play dates. So, tomorrow, I don't know if we have a game picked out, but,
no, but
you know, I did notice that RCGC was talking about Rainbow Six Siege in the chat about being a disappointing game for her. And so I thought maybe we play Rainbow Six Siege.
And I think we owe some apologies for last week. Last Sunday, I don't think any of us ended up being on at the said time of 7 p.m. I wasn't anyway. I was too busy trying to sort out my computer issues ready for this week's show. So apologies for that.
Whoops.
But yeah, I presume a few of us will be on tomorrow at 7 p.m. UK time, which is
we'll
2 o'clock
try and make it
Eastern
a point.
And 10 a.m. Is it 11 a.m. 11 a.m. in it on the
yes.
West Coast. Yeah.
Yep. 11 a.m. PT, 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. in the UK.
Yeah.
So get with us, and you know, as noted before, if there's a game on the PS4 or the Switch, because some of us have a Switch, or PC, you know, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. That's a thing, apparently.
Yeah.
We can always do a play date on one of those devices as well.
You guys can choose. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. We take suggestions. Again, thank you to everybody who has joined the chat. You can be part of the conversation every week on Twitch, twitch.tv/OC Podcast, on Mixer.com at Mixer.com/OC Podcast, or on YouTube. Just look us up, OC Podcast, on YouTube. And you can also catch the audio version on Sundays, sometime around 5 p.m. West Coast. Usually it'll be up and running. And, of course, on Saturdays we're here, 11 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. on the East Coast. If you want to send us in a game that's disappointed you, a game that you were looking forward to, and it just – you were hyped, and it got out, you got it home, maybe you unwrapped the box or you fired up that digital code and you started to play it and you thought, what an utter piece of crap. We want to hear about that game. So you can email the podcast, podcast@ocpod.com. You can tweet us at @OC_podcast. Let us know what games disappointed you after being totally hyped for them. You could even post it up in the Facebook. Maybe, Kim, we should post a Facebook posting talking about this.
We should do that.
That was actually difficult for me to say, by the way. so we can get that up on Facebook as well. Maybe get some conversation happening. And getting ready for E3. The excitement is just around the corner. It's Christmas for gamers. Or is it not going to be Christmas for gamers? Is it going to be, bah humbug? Don't know. We'll see.
We shall see.
Yeah. You can leave us iTunes reviews, Stitcher reviews. We like all of those things. Mark.
Yes.
You are our club president.
Yeah.
And it's not Hair Club for Men. It is our gaming club president.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell everybody how they can find us on these numerous clubs you have gone painstakingly through to set up?
Yeah, if you're on Xbox One, you can go on the Xbox Clubs app in the dashboard and just search for OC Podcast, and we're on there. We have a OC Podcast community on PS4, which you can find and request to join on there. We also have a OC Podcast group on Steam, so we've got a Steam presence as well. And finally, we have our own little server on Discord. Discord is the future. No one believes me, but we're all coming around to it. Even Fraser was admitting he's getting there. So, yeah, discord.ocpod.com will get you the invite. It's like a short URL to get to the invite. And in there, we've got different chat groups, we've got a podcast chat, we've got general games chat, we've also got voice channels, so if we're playing PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, we can use the voice channel to talk to each other, like on Skype or TeamSpeak, but it's free, you don't have to pay for anything like on TeamSpeak. Free!
Alright, well, thank you for that. And with that said, I think we can call this a podcast. And we can say it is a podcast that is done. So shout outs, Kim, start us off, please.
Alrighty. I want to shout out you guys as usual. It's always fun to come on here. So, and our shatters, we had two. That would be RCGC.
Slow Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, you know, the weather's nice. I know we're not all trapped up in the house like we are in winter. So I'm not surprised. So, you can find me at GammaRule27 on Twitter. That's on Xbox. If you want to send me an email, it's kim@ocpod.com. So, you know, if you want to reach me, that's where you'll find me. So, how about you, Mark?
I'm Mechanics on everything, Twitter, Xbox, PS4, and Steam. So that's the best way to get hold of me. I want to chat with you guys. I love podcasting with you guys. The whole podcast team, we're like a little family. We're always having lots of banter and chat on the WhatsApp, and it just makes you week. It's so much fun. And I want to shout out the government for doing more and more NHS budget cuts and affecting me directly, because I'm having to change my shifts again at work, and I'm going to be losing money because of it, because of my unsocial hours are going to be cut. So I'm not happy. I want to shout out Nicole, because she's at Walker Stalker Con, and she's met Lenny James, who plays... Oh my God, I forgot his name. My mind's gone blank. What's his name?
Oh God, now I'm drawing a blank.
Guy with a stick. Yeah, he plays him anyway. Yeah. It's not just me, then. You two forgot as well. And she's seen Daryl's ass as well, apparently, so, yeah. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I hope she's having a great time with her kiddies over there. It's called Morgan. Morgan, that's it. Thank you, Jason. Yes, Morgan.
I was right, though. It started with an M.
Yeah.
Bonus points to take up.
Yeah,
call myself all right. A fan. Well, again, thank you to the both of you. Thank you to our shatters. And obviously to the listeners as well, because you don't have to be live to enjoy the show. It's just as good on Memorex. yeah, that's a thing, right?
Yeah, we not fade away.
Yeah. So I have a blog that I have not updated
in
2-3 months. And that's pretty much because I hadn't finished a game in 2 or 3 months. But having finished The Division, I now have to update it. So I will be updating it. But you know, it's worth a read if you ask me. I mean, I put some effort into it. It's not just you know, a couple one-liners here and there. It's actually, you know, goes in depth on some of the games that I've been playing, that I've completed, as well as just stuff that's happening in life, because that sometimes is interesting, sometimes is not. I don't know. E3, that's happening next week. Get ready for it, folks. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, I know we're doing. There's a lot more on a weekend now, isn't there? A lot of them are on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Which
is it's starting up on Saturday. So yeah. For those that, you know, just be prepared. EA kicks it off on Saturday. They're doing their anti-E3 show, which is basically they're not part of E3. So they don't have floor space at E3. They have a facility away from E3 that they're doing their own event at. And then Sunday, Microsoft officially kicks off E3 because they're the first official E3 event, and they, you know, will be kicking that off on Sunday. Then Sunday night, Bethesda has their event, and then everything rolls into Monday morning. And Monday morning, you'll get Ubisoft in the afternoon, and then Sony. I can't talk anymore. Sony. We'll be in the evening on Monday, and I think Nintendo does their video the following Tuesday. That's they'll do their treehouse video nonsense. But you know, I call it nonsense. If there's one thing that you can take away from, you know, I think when you look at the floor space of E3 and you start seeing what people are doing, E3, the idea of E3 is still important. To have kind of the timing, but I think a lot of companies are realizing presence at E3 is not as important as having presence during the time of E3, if that makes sense. Yeah. Hopefully it does. So, you know, having a press conference in and around the E3 time frame gives you spotlight. That's why EA is like, we're going to do our own thing away from the convention center, so we're not going to pay the exorbitant fees of being at E3, but we're still going to get plenty of coverage. Nintendo literally just puts a video out. However, in fairness to them, they also have a fairly significant floor space plan at E3. Microsoft this year doing their own event pre-E3 week, you know, that Sunday. And then if you look at the floor space of Microsoft, it's actually significantly lower this year. They shrunk down their overall size. So it's actually Sony's the biggest, Nintendo second biggest, and then Microsoft I think is about the same size as the Activision and Ubisoft booth space, like 17,000 square feet or something. So I think they're realizing they don't necessarily need to be at E3 either. So interesting times for E3, and this is the first year it's open to the public.
I was just going to say it's open to the public this year, so that's a nice change, because Gamescom in Germany, that's normally huge because so many people visit it, whereas before in the past E3's only been for invited press delegates and that. So
right well, I think they added 15,000 tickets to this E3,
right?
So it's 15,000 public plus about 40,000 journalists, so you know, it's still fairly large, but I mean, compare that to Gamescom. That's like 200,000 people.
Yeah.
So it's slightly different. Anyway, that's another tangent that we are not going to go further on. We're going to say, Mark,
yes.
Play that funky music, white boy.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
People say,
come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.